the missionaries and be with them. Of course, God's going to be with them. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And if that's all you have time to do, well, pray that prayer. If my picture, along with other missionaries, is on your refrigerator door, just please put it on the side where you put your hand before you pull the door to open it up to eat some cold leftover pizza. And just pray for John and Carol. God bless them and be with them. That, if that's all you've got time to do, do it. But obviously, as we are in this endeavor where we're fighting against the forces, spiritual forces in high places, we need to be more specific and intentional in our prayers. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. Some areas, one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, he asked for specific prayer. He asked for us to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And to watch with all perseverance and supplication, it seems a little bit more intense. He said, brethren, pray for us. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. He asked that God would have an open door for them, to have a door of utterance. So there are specific things that he was asking God. He wanted God to do for him, and he needed the prayers of those people who were his co-workers as they prayed for them. So if this morning I can help you in some way to challenge you, to spur you on, to pray a little bit more specifically, I love it that you're going to be praying specifically for our country. I confess that now that I'm living here in the United States, before I was so far removed, I wasn't really aware of, you know, American politics, but the longer I'm here, the more greater my concern grows for my country and the more disgusted I am with what things are happening that are so anti-God. And so we do need to pray for our country, and thank you for dedicating. That's God-honoring. He wants us to pray for our country and for those that are in authority over us. I remember when I was in Bible school, I went to Bible school in Jackson, Michigan. I don't know if you know about this, but New Tribes Mission has a Bible Institute in Jackson, Michigan. If you have an opportunity to stop by, I'm sure there might be someone there that could give you a tour like I do in Sanford for people that just walk in and would like to know the Bible school. But we sang this song in choir about some must go and some can stay. We all can pray to speed the message on its way. Some can go, some can stay. We all can give that men might live. And so we all can pray to speed the message on its way. And if you want to pray intelligently, I saw our latest newsletter is up there on your board. To pray intelligently for your missionaries, read your missionaries' newsletters. If you would like to take our picture and get my email and send to me and say, hey, could you put me on your emailing list so that I can get it right to my computer? And once a month we try to send out an update. You can pray for us and for your other missionaries. I'm sure they'd be happy to do the same. Communicate with them. Ask them. One of the things that I can almost always count on Randy Chamberlain to do is, what are some of your specific needs? He asked me that. There he comes right now. Talking about you, brother. And so he asks. Just ask. Come right out and say, hey, how can we pray for you specifically? Sometimes missionaries are a little bit hesitant to share some things that they really would like you to be praying about. They may not be able to do it in an open newsletter that goes out, but privately they could tell you some more personal things that are heavy on their hearts. And then the other is we have this little guide, and it's on our table. I found it, I don't know when we came across this, but it's Prayers for Missionaries and Their Families. And I'd like to use that as a little bit of my springboard to some of the areas that you can pray for specifically for missionaries. One of the things is intimacy with God. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Come on. Missionaries, intimacy with God? Aren't they the people that are closest to God, like the pastor? You know, he's in the Word all the time. Shouldn't they have intimacy with God? Well, we know from reading Scripture that the Pharisees, who were very devoted to the study of the Old Testament and all the things that were there, they lacked an intimacy with God. It's one thing being in the Word of God just for study purposes or translation purposes, and the other is for intimacy with God. And once you lose that intimacy with God, then things go awry in your work, in your marriage. You need that intimacy. You need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And that's one of the things that I would like you to pray for us, is that we'll have intimacy with God, that we will continue to develop that. Just like when there's a breakdown of communication between my wife and I, things aren't going so well and there's a loss of intimacy, that openness to share your heart. And God wants to have fellowship with us. So pray for your missionaries. And one of the suggestions of just a prayer, this little pamphlet here says, intimacy, God, Lord, keep, and you can put in the name of your missionary, John and Carol, close to you. Cause them to love you with all their hearts, souls, and minds. Draw them into your word each day. Fill them with thankfulness. So this is something that you can pray for your missionaries, that they would be develop a relationship and maintain a relationship of intimacy with God and not grow cold. Language and culture, that's one of the things that obviously when a missionary goes to the field, he needs to learn the language and the culture of the people. I had it told to me one time when I was on the field, you can't preach like Paul if you talk like Tarzan. And I thought, yeah, me, missionary, come here, tell you Jesus, just isn't going to cut it. If I were talking like Tarzan to you this morning, I would see probably many of you wanting to look for the door, look at your watch, want to get out of here. You need to have a fluency. It's through a fluency in the language that you develop relationships with people. You bond with them. You understand them. Learning their culture, how they tick. I heard that it takes like 10,000 hours to become fluent in a language. It was told to us that it's up to you how you want to divide those hours in a daily schedule. If you want to put in 8 hours a day in language study, from the time you get up, you know, a full 8 hour day in study of what you have as text, listening to your recordings, going out and practicing, obviously you're going to get the language quicker than if you just dabble in learning the language. And so missionaries have to learn language in very difficult circumstances. It's hot. You're sweaty. Things are going wrong. Your motor is breaking down. The people that you're going out there to visit, you can't understand them. They can't understand you initially. I heard of one missionary that he was trying to learn Portuguese, and he walked into a store, and he said, "Bom dia, good morning." And then he looked up at the shelf, and there were bottles, I don't know what kind up there, and he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ciao. And he would walk out the door, and he did this several times. He came into the store. The store owner saw another missionary. He says, "Who's that crazy American that's coming in here saying good morning to me, counting my bottles on the shelf, saying goodbye, and walking out?" And he says, "He's trying to learn to speak your language." And that's all he knows right now. He's trying to add to his vocabulary, and he's determined he's going to practice what he knows, and so he's coming in here to count your bottles. And so if you can help him, that would be wonderful. And the guy's attitude changed, and he was willing to help this poor missionary. This missionary is now retired, and his son is down in Brazil planting churches and doing the Lord's work. So it's wonderful. You have to become like a baby in their language, and you make mistakes, and you're wanting to be an adult, but talking like a baby. And one of the funniest things is to get missionaries together and say, "What's the most embarrassing thing you ever said?" You know, and they start telling these stories. And Carol and I have ours. You know, she was trying to tell the young kids in her Sunday school class to sing, and what she was telling them to do was poop. And so I did the same thing in front of the church. The word to urinate and walk are very close. So guess what I told them that Jesus wants us to do? Yeah, urinate in the light. So I guess if it's dark, you got to wait till the sun comes up and then make a beeline for the woods. But you just have to learn to laugh at yourself, laugh with them at you. And then when you finally break through and you get to that part where you can talk to them and make connection with them because of their language, it's wonderful. You see tears in their eyes because you're connecting. You're speaking their words. You're using their cultural illustrations. I remember missionary Mark Zook, who's with the Lord in Papua New Guinea. He'd studied the culture, and he found out that one of the things they did when wild pigs would come into their gardens is that they would find out where the pig was coming in, and then they would put a little teeny barricade that the pig would have to jump over to get into the garden. And they would keep increasing that a little bit higher to the point where the pig couldn't see over the barricade, but he knew that the food was on the other side. So he'd have to take a running jump and then leap. Well, what they would do is that they would dig a pit on the other side of the hole and put these stakes in it that pointed straight up. And you can imagine that pig when he jumped and then all of a sudden he's free falling right into those stakes. You know what he used that cultural illustration to illustrate? This is what it's like When we realize that we are sinners and we're headed to destruction, there's no one that can save us except Jesus. And he used that illustration. It made sense to them. It connected to them. That pig was hopeless. He couldn't save himself. He needed someone to miraculously save him, and that's what Jesus does. So language and culture, we're learning God is kind of like reversing the Tower of Babel. He made the confusion of tongues, and he can help us to speak languages that are not our own to be able to communicate his truth. Evangelism and discipleship. Missionaries are all excited about being able to finally tell someone about Jesus Christ and win that person to the Lord after they've learned the language and learned the culture. And in New Tribes of Mission, we teach chronologically through the scriptures to get them to the point that they understand how sin came into the world. They understand that God had a promised Redeemer that was going to come to take care of the sin issue. And that Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," with that Old Testament foundation, they understand that Jesus Christ is that Lamb who God had sent to be their sacrifice for sin. His blood shed on the cross would be the atonement that was needed for man's sin. And so when we lay that foundation for them and they understand and they place their faith in Jesus Christ and say, "I believe, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior," yay, our work is done. Are you kidding me? My daughter just had twins. They're 4 months old. When she had them at the hospital, she didn't go, "Yay, my work is done. Have a good life," and walk away. Now that's where the work begins. It's sleepless nights. It's crying when they're crying because you don't get any sleep and you don't know what's bothering them and you don't know how to get them to be happy and satisfied. And that's what it's like when you have newborn babes in Christ. Just as they were patient with us to learn their language, we need to be patient with them and help them to grow. And we need to teach and reteach. And sometimes we need to even use our own mistakes as illustrations. Carol and I work with tribal people who, they, like many tribal people groups, to show that you're weak is a horrible thing to do. There are some tribes that their greatest values are to be warlike and to be aggressive, and they don't back down. And you try and teach them about Jesus Christ wanting us to be humble and tenderhearted and forgiving one another, and that's just totally against their culture. And so Carol and I, as we were traveling up this morning, we realized that we talk to the tribal people, and when we would make a mistake, we would go to them and use that as a teaching opportunity and say, "Hey, you know what? When we were sitting together, I said something, and it embarrassed you publicly. And I'm here to tell you that I'm very sorry that I said that. Would you please forgive me?" And sometimes, though, "Yeah, that's right. You need to ask forgiveness for that. And you need to ask forgiveness to the whole village." "Well, how did the whole village hear about it?" "Well, it's because we got the person that you offended gossiped about you, and that's their form of social control, that you gossip about the person that offended you. And no, I need to ask forgiveness of you because I offended you. If you told everyone else what I did, well, that's your responsibility. Go tell them that I came to you and asked for forgiveness." And so just helping these people grow. Boy, when we got believers in the village, that's when the tears started flowing because they were at odds with each other and trying to help them. I don't know about you, Pastor Howie. These people look so great. They must never, ever have any problems getting along. As a shepherd, your sheep are just like totally cool, right? They don't butt heads with each other. They're just, "Oh, come on into the fold before me. Go ahead." No, man, you get into some situations. I had these two dear brethren that I was hoping to see them develop as spiritual leaders among the people, and their kids were fighting with each other. And, of course, that affected their relationship with one another. And it was getting to the point that in Chamacoco culture, when you've got a problem with someone, you just stay away from them. You go someplace else. And so one would go to church and the other one would stay home because they just couldn't stand to see the other person there in church. Well, I was trying to help these brethren to learn what God wanted them to do to reconcile. And so I called them over to my office and I sat down with them. I said, "I understand that there are problems between you. And I know what the problems are. I've heard about them." And I got out this piece of string and I made all these little loose knots in it. I said, "This is what your relationship is like now, just full of all these knots. But we're going to talk about each instance, and what I would like you to do is just to say, you know, I'm sorry that that happened. Let's forgive and forget, and let's go on with life. And we're going to untangle these knots, and pretty soon you're going to have a string that's just totally clear." And they seemed to like that illustration, so we handled some of the different points. There was reconciliation made between the two brethren. And the very next day, the child of one and the grandchild of another knocked one of the other kids off the bicycle. So another problem came up, another little knot in the string. And the guy told me about it, and I says, you know, we talked about this yesterday, what you need to do. I showed you how to do it. Now you need to go over there and talk with him about it. No, I don't want to do that. You need to do it. And I just walked away, and I went over to my house, and I watched out the window. Pretty soon he walks over there to the, you know, and he comes back, and things were made right. So that's steps that are making. So pray for your missionaries as they try to teach tribal people to get along with one another. Protection. We know about the need for protection. We see missionaries that live in dangerous areas. New Tribes Mission has lost missionaries to guerrillas. They have been martyred. We have missionaries that have lost children who have drowned. One child taken by a crocodile. People are living in areas where if it's not problems with political things going on in the country, there's Zika and there's Ebola. And our missionaries are out there in the field and they're facing harm. So we need to pray for them and pray for them specifically. And by keeping informed in the newsletters, you can understand what's going on. Jonathan Koff, he had to go back to the village. I think he was out of the village, but because he heard that four women were slated to be killed because of something that happened. And he needed to go in and talk to the village leaders. And it was a tense situation. They wound up having to take those women to another safe location because they were going to kill them. And two of them were believers. So we need to pray for protection and also for boldness. Even in hostile situations, we can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Missionaries sometimes can be timid. And we need to pray that God would deliver us from this spirit of timidity, so that we would not be ashamed. Support. You guys have done such a tremendous job. I understand that Michigan has been really hurt, the auto industry and other things. Instead of decreasing our support, you've actually increased it. And I thank you for that. It shows a heart of giving. And missionaries, like in the Old Testament, the Levites, as we're in full-time service for the Lord, we are dependent upon God's people to collaborate, to help us so that we can be serving you in other places where you can't go and serve. And the Apostle Paul, he was delighted in any offering that people would, and he was saying, oh, I have everything. I'm full. I just really thank you for your giving. And so we do thank you for, and you make it possible. One of the things that I have great delight in doing is to help somebody get more support. Sometimes a person will call and say, you know, the missionary that we are supporting is retiring or is leaving your organization. I would like to partner with another missionary. Could you help me? My goodness, it's so nice to have access to a database to see who all is on low on support and to be able to connect them with someone that can partner with them and help them in their ministry. So support. You can pray for your missionaries in relationship to support. Marriage and children. Having difficulties in your marriage can take you out of God's ministry. And I am in a department now where I have to write account closing letters for missionaries, New Tribes missionaries, who are leaving our work. And sometimes it's because of husband and wife relationships. The enemy knows how to tempt. Even a man after God's own heart, David, was tempted. And he committed an act that he knew was a transgression of God's law. Missionaries need your prayers that they'll be faithful to their mates and develop and can maintain a spirit of intimacy. One of the books that I love very much, and I don't know if you've ever had it in your library, was The Five Languages of Love. And being a person who's been involved in a ministry where I knew I needed to speak the language of another individual to be able to communicate to them, that book had an impact on my life. I'm a physical touch person. My wife is a quality time person. She likes that I spend time with her and talk with her. Anything we can talk about. And in the busyness of ministry, sometimes we fail to have that opportunity to go back to our romance and just talk. So now in the morning, we can have our cup of coffee if we want. I can hold her hand, which fills my tank, and talking with her fills hers. But There are so many other ways, acts of service, words of affirmation, and you can pick up on what people's love languages are by the way that they try and love you. I had a coworker that was always complimenting me. Oh man, you're so good at what you do. I realized that was his love language and I needed to speak it back to him. I needed to compliment him on what he was doing. Our children the same way. So that book made sense to me, Hedges by Jerry Jenkins, to just protect yourself. Be careful in how you conduct yourself with the opposite sex. So other areas, singleness. There are single missionaries that need to be content. Friends. Good friendships help you grow in the Lord. Iron sharpeneth iron. Holiness. Unity. Missionaries sometimes get to be pretty passionate about their opinions. And it does not make for good coworker relationships when you are needing to make a decision about what you're going to do as a team and one person feels very strongly that you shouldn't go that way. Unity, fruitfulness. So another thing that we need and always is more laborers. Since the beginning of time, Jesus said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And we need laborers. One of the things I'm realizing as I work at our home office is that I'm getting old. I'm 60 years old now. And I'm relatively young for some of the people that are still working at our home office, that they should be retired. Some of them are actually retired just volunteering, continuing on in the finance office. And why are they doing that? Because there's no young whippersnapper to come and up behind them that they can pass the baton to. So we're like a bunch of geriatrics running a marathon, going around the field and just praying that God will send us more laborers to work in the finance office, hotshot IT people that can get our computers to work right and help other missionaries with their computer problems. We're getting a need for maintenance workers. We have a need for a chaplain to take care of God's older sheep in their retirement, when they have a broken heart, when something they've suffered the loss of their mate, to comfort them and come alongside them. So be praying that God would supply us with more laborers. And that, I believe, is the end. And I may have gone over a few minutes, but I thank you so much. Pastor Howard, you can come up here and close in whatever way is fitting.